Father, we thank you for this Torah study today, and I just pray that what you want spoken will be spoken, and what you don't want spoken will not be spoken. I pray that your words, and only your words, will come out of my mouth, and anything that I say is not profitable for your kingdom, and so therefore let those words fall to the ground and die. I ask in Yeshua's name. Okay, well, I titled this Torah portion, The Secret to Understanding the Covenant. And really, there is no secret if you have the ability to see. Understanding of the covenant is just simply hidden from the blind. And so I'm going to teach this as a concept and show you exactly what the covenant is so that you can understand it better. This week's Torah portion begins with Yahweh instructing Aaron through Moses about the requirements for the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. The Day of Atonement was given to Israel because of Yahweh's mercy to Israel for the treason against Yahweh with the golden calf. Now, treason always results in automatic death. Well, then why didn't Yahweh kill Israel instead of listening to Moses' intercession in Exodus 32? It is because Yahweh is merciful and his mercy endures forever. And that's what he actually ended up telling Moses, isn't it? However, his mercy still requires a couple of things. First, there must still be a death for the treason. This is why two goats are selected and one dies while the other goes free. And the second requirement is something that Yahweh built into his covenant with mankind, which is a way to express his mercy, and that's what I'm going to be talking about in a minute. You need to understand that Yahweh's mercy is built into his covenant with man from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world was laid. And we tend to think that the covenants started with Adam. It did not, and I'm going to show you this. Yahweh created a legal structure called covenant through which he can bring redemption to man. And redemption leads to salvation. But before we understand the covenant and Yahweh's method of dealing with man within the covenant, let's first see the restriction and the requirements that are put on Aaron because of his leading Israel into treason with the golden calf, which he made. Leviticus 16:2, and Yahweh said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at all times into the most holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die, for I will appear in the cloud on the mercy seat. Aaron cannot enter. He cannot have now the level of relationship that he would have had if he had not led the Israelites into treason. He is now forbidden to enter into the Holy of Holies at just any time. He is now restricted from contact with Yahweh except on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur. In modern legal terms, this is called an arm's length relationship. And it is a relationship that will continue at arm's length in the future for Aaron's line. In Ezekiel 44:10, it says, but the Levites who went far from me when Israel went astray, who went astray from me after their idols, they will bear their iniquity. But they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having oversight at the gates of the house and ministering in the house. They shall kill the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister to them. Because they ministered to them before their idols, and became a stumbling block of iniquity to the house of Israel, therefore I have lifted up my hand against them, says the Lord Yahweh, and they will bear their iniquity. They shall not come near to me. That is the future arm's length relationship. They shall not come near to me to execute the office of priest to me, nor to come near any of my holy things, to the things that are most holy. But they will bear their shame and their abominations which they have committed. Yet I will make them performers of the duty of the house for all its service and for all that will be done therein. Here's the deal. Crimes against Yahweh, meaning sins, have consequences. Leviticus 16:3 says Aaron will enter the sanctuary with a bull calf for his sin offering every year. And this is Aaron's and his descendants' annual atonement for the golden calf. Aaron and his line will have their atonement for leading Israel into treason, and the Israelites will have their atonement also on the same day. Yahweh did not permanently forgive that sin until Yeshua died for it. Also, Aaron does not go into the Holy of Holies wearing the high priest's breastplate. Leviticus 16:4 says he wears only the linen coat, the breeches, sash, and turban. His glory before Yahweh is stripped from him. Now, I always said that treason requires a death penalty, but again, Yahweh did not destroy Israel. So, someone else has to die. And here is where we find out who must die for Israel's treason. Leviticus 16:8. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yahweh, and the other lot for the scapegoat, the goat that will escape. Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for Yahweh and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for the scapegoat, the one that escapes, shall be presented alive before Yahweh to make atonement for him, to send him away as the scapegoat or escaping goat into the wilderness. Now, that lot is for Yahweh. Yahweh dies for Israel, right there. How is it that our people don't understand it in Christianity, they don't understand it in Judaism, and they don't understand it in Islam? Right there, Yahweh dies. Let's understand why Yahweh, who is Yeshua, had to die for Israel by going to Genesis 15, where Yahweh answers Abram's question about how he will know he's going to inherit the land that Yahweh has brought him to. And of course, his other question was about who would inherit the land after him. Would it be Eliezer, his servant? So Abram had these questions. The promise that Yahweh made to Abram in this chapter was that his descendants would inherit. They would be so many that their number would be like the number of the stars in the sky. And because there would be so many descendants, they would inherit the land. Yahweh answered Abram's question by making a covenant, but he did not make that covenant with Abram. Starting at Genesis 15:9, Yahweh told Abram to bring a heifer, 3 years old, a female goat, 3 years old, a ram, 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. Abram brought them and split the cattle while leaving the birds whole. And then he laid the split animal sides opposite each other in preparation for what is called the covenant of the pieces. Now, this is the most serious covenant anyone can make because it requires the death of the one who breaks it. The covenant of the pieces is a covenant with death. The account says that Yahweh put Abram in a trance. Abram was not going to make this covenant with death. He was not going to be the one walking through those pieces. Someone else was going to walk through those pieces. Who was it? It was the God of Abraham who walked through those pieces. The God who in Genesis 15:7 said he was the God that brought Abram out of Ur. He would walk through those pieces. Genesis 15:17. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a flaming torch passed between those pieces. That's God. That's Elohim, plural. There are two entities there, the smoking furnace and a flaming torch. Well, who is the smoking furnace and who is the flaming torch that moved between those pieces to make this covenant with death? It was Yahweh Elohim, the Father and the Son. The consequences of this covenant promise is that if Abram's descendants break the covenant, God himself will die. One of the two of those who walked through the pieces would die. Well, right here is where Yahweh's mercy is built into the covenant with Abraham. That goat in Leviticus 16:8, which was marked for Yahweh and offered by Israel's high priest every year, prophesied the fulfillment of the promise to Abram that God would die if Abraham's descendants broke the covenant. And how might they break the covenant? By their rebellion. Rebellion against what? Yahweh's law. They built a golden image, and they worshipped that image. Now, you know, Abraham kept Yahweh's law. We know this because Yahweh said to Isaac, "I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the sky and will give all these lands to your offspring. In your offspring will all the nations of the earth be blessed because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my statutes, my law, and my commandments." In Genesis 26, verse 5. Abraham was a law keeper. That is why Abraham was able to get so close to God that God called Abraham friend. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. But Abraham's descendants, starting with Aaron, did not obey Yahweh's law. They rebelled against the covenant of Yahweh from the ordination of Israel at Mount Sinai and are doing so to this day with their religions of Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So, when we talk about the covenant, which covenant is being referred to when people say the covenant was broken? I mean, we're studying in Leviticus 16 the result of a broken covenant, but which covenant did Aaron break? Well, the obvious answer is that he broke the Mosaic covenant, which contains the law of Yahweh. But that is only partially correct. The Mosaic covenant is only one part of a greater covenant. There are not many covenants. There is only one covenant with many parts. This covenant was created before the foundation of the world. How do I know this? Hosea 6, verse 7. But they, he's speaking about Israel there, but they, like Adam, have broken the covenant. They were unfaithful to me there. Hosea is talking about the house of Israel who had broken Yahweh's covenant, and here says that Adam also broke it. But wait, Adam lived about 2,500 years before Moses. How could Adam have broken the covenant with Moses? Hosea is not talking about the Mosaic covenant. He is talking about a covenant that Yahweh made with mankind from the foundation of the earth. Each of that covenant's named parts is simply an amendment of the greater foundational covenant. The greater covenant existed before the earth was created. And that covenant was not made with man. It was made for man. Its later additions were made with mankind at various times and then Israel. The greater foundational covenant has mercy built in, so that Yahweh can amend it each time man breaches it. Each amendment is called covenant, but none of them stand alone. They are all part of the greater foundational covenant. However, more weight is given to two of the covenants, those with Abraham and Moses, because of Yahweh's nation called Israel. So there is only one covenant between God and man, which creates the flexible framework for Yahweh to work out his plan to have man as part of his kingdom. The result is that Yahweh adds provisions called covenants within the greater covenant framework when man breaks any of the added covenant parts and thus is breaking the original and greater foundational covenant. The Hebrew word for covenant is berit. Everybody knows that. This word is a composite of bara without an H and bara with an H. Bara or berit involves cutting of something, like, you know, animals split in half, foreskins, figuratively the heart. Bara with no H means to create through cutting down, and it means to select. Bara with an H means to select and to feed. In the Day of Atonement, one entity which formerly had walked through the pieces, was selected and eventually cut down. The other entity, which never walked through those cut pieces, was selected and fed. You should now be getting the idea that Berit, covenant, is for the purpose of selection. Either you are selected for cutting down, destruction, or you are selected for feeding, nurturing. Now here is where the rubber meets the road for the treason that Israel committed against Yahweh. Only God can make permanent atonement for Israel. Until Yeshua came, it was temporary atonement and had to be renewed every year. There is a cost for the redemption of mankind. Goats cannot make permanent atonement for Israel. We read that in the book of Hebrews. So God, Yeshua, came and died for Israel to make permanent atonement for Israel. Those who say Yeshua is not God are fools. About 2,000 years after God the Father and God the Son walked through those pieces as the smoking furnace and the flaming torch, Yeshua had his own flesh ripped from his body when he was beaten with the scourge. This is another clear sign of who he is. In the covenant with Moses, Passover and Yom Kippur mark the redemption and elevation of Israel so that Israel can serve Yahweh by bringing the nations to Him. Knowing that, now, let's go back and look at the covenants to get some more information about them and the covenant that was created before the foundation of the world, so that we can now fully understand how Yahweh responds to the breakage of His foundational covenant. One principle of breaking the covenant, the greater covenant, by breaking one of its parts, is that there is a consequence to man, just as there was to Aaron and all Israel when they broke the Mosaic part of the greater foundational covenant. Along with seeing the consequences, though, we will also see Yahweh's mercy toward man as we study briefly these covenants that are all part of Yahweh's greater foundational covenant. Adam was the first to break Yahweh's greater covenant, and Adam's punishment was hard labor, tilling the ground. Eve's was sorrow in child rearing. The result of this is that Adam's punishment affects every human, and Eve's fallen condition affects all women. But Adam's penalty also came with the promise of a Messiah to restore the earth and mankind back to its original pure state. This promise shows us that Yahweh renewed His greater covenant with Adam when He doled out Adam and Eve's consequences. The greater covenant was again renewed after the flood's destruction in Noah's time. The covenant with Noah was given a token sign of a rainbow as a promise that the earth would never again be destroyed with water. The Noahic covenant is a renewal of the greater covenant. Yahweh had decided to continue with His greater covenant, which He made before the foundation of the world, by allowing Noah and his family to escape. There we go with the escaping again. Somebody escaped, just like that escaping goat. Here is something else that's interesting about the Noahic covenant. There is no mention of a coming Messiah there. Now, there are hints of the Messiah within the story, but there is no express prophecy of a Messiah to come. This is because the Noahic covenant is a full renewal of all creation as it was from the foundation of the world when Yahweh created everything, including the covenants, from before the earth was created, and its token is the rainbow. But I'm going to take you to Genesis 9, 12, and 13 and tell you why I say what I just said. God said, "This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Oh, the covenant includes the humans and every living creature. Every living creature cannot be redeemed. He said, "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it will be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth." The earth cannot be redeemed. So, every living creature and the earth cannot be redeemed by the Messiah. This is why Noah's covenant does not mention the coming Messiah, as did the former Adamic covenant. But notice that afterward, man still labors hard to till the ground after the flood. The principle of that is that none of the provisions of the covenants will go away until all of them have been fulfilled. And there is something else. The prophecy of Noah's covenant has not yet been fulfilled because the final destruction of the earth has not yet happened. Its fulfillment will come when the earth is destroyed by fire. The next provision within the greater foundational covenant was the covenant made with Abram, in which he was given the promise that Yahweh intended to create a nation for himself from Abram's descendants. And this, again, is where the berit, the cutting and selecting, was added. Just like Noah had to prepare his part in order to achieve the covenant, you know, Noah had to build the ark. Well, Abram had some preparation for this covenant. So Abram prepared the animals so that Yahweh could walk through them. And now we come to the Mosaic covenant. This is not a standalone covenant. It is part B of the Abrahamic covenant, but it was separated from the Abrahamic covenant by 430 years until such time as Abram's descendants numbered as many stars as are in the sky. The Abrahamic covenant cannot be fulfilled without the law of Moses to govern Abraham's descendants. Why? Because Abraham obeyed Yahweh's law. Abraham set the precedent. Abraham's law keeping is the same as the Mosaic covenant's law keeping. And so Abraham's people are to do the same. But here is something about the Mosaic covenant. It is here, with the Mosaic part, that we begin to see something that is called an if statement. Anybody that works with spreadsheets knows about if statements, you know, in the formulas of a spreadsheet. If something, then something else happens. So starting with Israel, we begin to see that Yahweh's people now have a greater role in upholding Yahweh's greater foundational covenant through the giving of and the formalizing of Yahweh's law, which was done at Mount Sinai. The creation of the nation of Israel came with greater responsibility. Why? Well, first of all, Yahweh has now fulfilled his promise to Abraham regarding his descendants inheriting the land. But also, Yahweh is now elevating Abraham's descendants above all the people of the earth. This was something that Abraham did not enjoy. I mean, he enjoyed Yahweh's blessings, but he was not elevated above all the people of the earth. Israel is elevated above all the people of the earth, and for that, a higher standard of living is required, because we represent Yahweh to the people of the earth. And with Israel, Yahweh was bringing his kingdom to the earth. I mean, we look forward to the coming of the kingdom, but the kingdom already came. It was destroyed by Abraham's descendants, which again takes us back to that now God has to die and the other goat gets to escape. When the kingdom comes, it involves Israel teaching Yahweh's law to the Gentiles. You can't have a kingdom without laws. It's not possible. Is there any nation on the earth that does not have laws? Show me one. No, that's not possible. Israel has a higher standard to live by. So, if, quote unquote, we want Yahweh's kingdom, we must obey his law. And that was supposed to happen back then. It's supposed to be happening now. As I already kind of pointed out, an if statement creates a condition wherein those who want to benefit from the covenant and those who want to remain in covenant with Yahweh must perform on their side. There's some things you got to do. It's a reciprocal arrangement. If creates a reciprocal arrangement. If this happens, this happens. The first covenantal condition with an if you statement occurs with the creation of the nation of Israel at the Mosaic addition to the greater foundational covenant. Exodus 15:26. Yahweh said, if you will diligently listen to Yahweh your Elohim's voice and will do that which is right in his eyes and will pay attention to his commandments and keep all his statutes, he will put none of the diseases on you which were put on the Egyptians. And then he says, I am Yahweh who heals you. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you will be my own possession from all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. Here he's telling them he's going to elevate them above all the other peoples, but he's telling them they need to keep my covenant, his covenant. And we look at that as it's about the covenant that's coming up. You know, you got to keep that one that Moses will give. Nope, that's present tense. You got to keep my covenant. What is my covenant? It's the greater foundational covenant from before the foundation of the world. Exodus 19:5. Leviticus 26:3 now. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, your land will yield its increase, the trees will yield their fruit, your threshing shall reach to the vintage, and the vintage shall reach to the sowing time, You'll eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land in safety. And I will give you peace in the land, and you will lie down, and no one will make you afraid. I will remove evil animals out of the land, and there will not be a sword to go through the land. You will chase your enemies, and they'll fall before you by the sword. 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall chase 10,000. By the way, that's what's going to happen with the 144,000. And your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. I will have respect for you, and make you fruitful and multiply you, and will establish my covenant with you. He's going to have respect for us if we walk in his statutes. You shall eat old store, long kept, and shall move out the old because of the new. I will set my tent among you, and my soul will not abhor you. I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you will be my people. I am Yahweh your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you go upright. Now that is quite an if statement. If you walk in my statutes, look at the benefits. Up to now, it has been Yahweh doing the heavy lifting. In the Adamic covenant, Yahweh promised a Messiah and gave Adam and Eve consequences, but there were no further promises to Adam and Eve in exchange for keeping the law. The Noahic covenant contains the promise that Yahweh will never destroy the earth by water again, but there was no further promises given if Noah and his sons kept the law. The covenant with Abraham contains the promise of a son to carry on Abraham's name, but there is no requirement for Abraham to keep the law in order to obtain further promises for his life. He did keep the law voluntarily, which is actually, we're supposed to have the heart of Abraham and just, you know, raise our hand when God says, will you keep my law? You know, your hand goes up and you say, oh yeah, I'm going to do that. So the if statements begin with the ordination of Israel. But Israel broke the Mosaic part of the greater foundational covenant at Mount Sinai, and we have continued breaking it until now. And even after Yeshua came and explained how to keep all the parts of the covenant, including the Mosaic covenant, Christians, Jews, and Muslims continue breaking the covenant with their religious law and teaching that the Torah is not what should be done. You know what Paul calls those who disobey Yahweh's law? He calls them covenant breakers in Romans 1:31. Yeah, you break the law, you're breaking the covenant. It's not just about you breaking the law. It's about you've broken the covenant. And which covenant? Well, you've broken, you know, the law, which is the Mosaic law, and the greater foundational covenant. Know this. And this is why I am teaching about the greater foundational covenant with its many additional covenants today. This information ties into our Torah portion because you need to understand something. It is more serious for Aaron to have committed treason and for Israel to have committed treason than it was for Adam to have committed his sin. It is more serious for those who call themselves by the name of Abraham to commit crimes against Yahweh, sins, than it was for Adam and Eve. The further mankind moves forward in time with full knowledge of the greater foundational covenant, the greater will be the punishment of mankind at the end. Now, people will say that mankind today does not understand Yahweh's greater foundational covenant or its many parts. So, you know, it's not fair that Yahweh will punish man for not knowing. Well, that is wrong-headed thinking. We are held responsible for what we could have known and should have known but failed to look into. And here's what I mean. If we die in our unintentional sins without ever having taken advantage of the forgiveness provided for in the Mosaic Law, we will still go to hell. We will not enter the kingdom. All of mankind, each individual, is responsible to Yahweh, whether he wants to be or not. Yeshua fulfilled the Adamic Messiah promise by becoming the second Adam, because that is where the first breach of the greater foundational covenant began. And in today's Torah portion, with the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, in Leviticus 16, we have an addition to both the greater foundational covenant and the Mosaic, which is found within the greater foundational covenant. And that addition is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur was not part of Yahweh's original plan at Mount Sinai. It was added because of sin. That's what Paul is talking about. Yeshua will now need to come as the goat. So Yeshua became the second Adam. Now he's going to come as the goat, which is the sacrifice for the sin of Israel. Yeshua, the second Adam, and the goat. And you know what? The goat typifies what Yahweh thought of his people. The next covenant within the greater foundational covenant is the covenant with David. This provision promised David there would always be a king from among his descendants to sit on the throne of Israel. But within the Davidic covenant is another if statement. And that if statement is specific to the descendants of David who will inherit his throne. The if statement says that whoever will inherit David's throne forever must be one who perfectly obeys Yahweh's law. Again, the covenants are about the laws of the kingdom. David's covenant was broken by his son Solomon. And that breach shattered united Israel into two nations and now prevents Solomon and all of his descendants from ever sitting on David's throne. And then we have Jeremiah, who said there would be another covenant. Jeremiah 31:31-33. Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts and will write it in their heart. I will be their God and they will be my people. Now, this one has been erroneously called the New Covenant. But it is not new. It is a restoration of the broken greater foundational covenant which was broken through disobedience to the Mosaic covenant. This time, in this covenant that Jeremiah just told us, there is no if statement. There is no condition there. This renewed covenant, which was fulfilled when Yeshua became the second Adam and the Yom Kippur goat at the same time, simply says, Israel will obey my law because I will write it on the hearts of the people. Israel had proven to be unworthy of both the greater and the Mosaic covenants. So the former Israel was cut off, and a renewed and restored Israel was selected. Therein comes the Berit again. Cutting off and selecting. Where did this renewed and restored Israel come from? From the death and resurrection of Yeshua. He restored Israel's position as a holy nation before his Father. Yeshua's death did not do away with any of the former covenants. In fact, the covenant that Yahweh's people reject the most is the Mosaic covenant, which promises that Yeshua would come to die for them after they committed treason against him. So isn't it odd that Yahweh's own people reject the promise of being redeemed and restored? If we say the old Mosaic covenant was done away with, because we don't want to keep that law, you know, we also do away with the promise made within the Mosaic covenant of the one who will come and die like that goat. Literally, they don't understand that they are rejecting Yahweh's salvation when they reject his law. And there is yet another covenant to come, and it was already inherited by one Israelite. Numbers 25:11. Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, has turned away my wrath from the children of Israel, in that he was jealous with my jealousy among them, so that I did not consume the children of Israel in my jealousy. Therefore, behold, I give to him my covenant of peace. Well, interestingly, this covenant of peace is inherited by those who are zealous for the law, which most Christians reject. The point and the secret of the greater foundational covenant is that there is only one covenant, but it has been amended by Yahweh, who adds additional covenant clauses because of his mercy toward man, which is built into the greater foundational covenant. The one greater foundational covenant created by Yahweh before he created the world is still intact. The Day of Atonement of Yom Kippur is a Sabbath of solemn rest for us, in which we shall afflict our souls. It is a statute forever. The priest who is anointed and who is consecrated to be priest in his Father's place shall make the atonement and shall put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and he shall make atonement for the holy sanctuary, and for the tent of meeting, and for the altar. And he shall make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. This shall be an everlasting statute for you, to make an atonement for the children of Israel, once in the year, because of all their sins. It was done as Yahweh commanded Moses. There is one more point I want to make before closing. Notice that Yahweh is the author of the greater foundational covenant, and he is the author of also the additional covenants within that larger covenant, that greater covenant. It is true that Yahweh can, and he does, add to the covenants. But he does not change the law. He is the only one authorized to add to the greater covenant. And also notice that when Yahweh adds to the greater foundational covenant, he never retracts anything that he has formerly promised. Romans 11:29. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The additional covenants within the greater foundational covenant are gifts of mercy from Yahweh to us. And those mercies endure forever. By the end of the age, all of the additions will have become part of the greater foundational covenant from before the creation of the earth, and none of them will disappear. Why is it so important for us to understand this information about the greater foundational covenant? It is because there is only one kingdom, and the greater foundational covenant with its many parts is still only one covenant. So when we talk about breaking the law, it is really that we are breaking the greater foundational covenant, you know, the big one, by breaking any one of the covenant insertions within the greater foundational covenant. When we break the foundational covenant, we break the one that governs all of Yahweh's kingdom, and we are held responsible for that. Psalms 106:1 says, "Praise Yahweh, give thanks to Yahweh, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever." Amen. And amen and hallelujah too. Thank you, Father, for that.